Kyle Trask may have to step back in line for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers starting quarterback spot. Gronk updates his status, kind of. And Rich Eisen picks his Super Bowl favorite for 2022. We're talking about all of it right now on this episode of the Locked On Bucs podcast. Let's go.
You are Locked On Buccaneers, your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Bucs Nation, and welcome to Locked On Bucs Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's your team every day. We are your daily podcast covering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. And we thank you for making us your first listen or view of the day. I am James Yarko, joined by Mr. David Harrison. Both of us cover your Buccaneers for SB Nation's BucsNation.com. And of course, you can follow along on Twitter at Locked On Bucs, at Jarko underscore Bucs, at DHarrison82, and at Bucs underscore Nation.
Thank you again, Bucs Nation, for making us your first listener view of the day. The rumor mill is getting pretty warm, James, filled with speculation that the Buccaneers could still try to trade for Cleveland Browns quarterback and progressive commercial superstar Baker Mayfield to give themselves some long-term security for the post-Tom Brady era. Buccaneers GM Jason Light was asked about the rumors and the speculation on Mad Dog Sports Radio, to which he replied, quote, "I don't want to talk about a player that's on another team's roster right now, but we may still add a veteran quarterback. We're going to have to see how it goes here." End quote. Two things real quick. One, that would be tampering. So good job, Jason Light, on not tampering. That is why you are an NFL general manager. Two, what does it mean, James? So I didn't really say two things, but saying one thing, asking a second.
Well, and I was actually asked about this on Sports Talk Florida when I did a radio spot for them on Wednesday.
Oh, you were on the radio.
I was on the radio.
Congratulations, sir.
I just didn't say what Jason Light said. What I said about this, it's kind of weird to think about, but you have to go back a couple of weeks, and Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times had a report that the Buccaneers were doing their due diligence and their research on Baker Mayfield should he become available for a trade. Now, the next day, Tom Brady's like, "No, I'm not really retired. I'm coming back. We're going to do this thing again." And so all of that talk kind of went away. Then you had the Deshaun Watson madness, and he eliminates the Browns, and all of a sudden he goes to the Browns, and Baker Mayfield is, he wants out. He wanted out even if the Browns didn't get Deshaun Watson. So yeah, I wouldn't put it past this organization or this regime to pursue this. The problem is going to be, number one, the contract. They would be spending a lot of money that they don't really have on a backup quarterback, even with a restructure and moving the bigger money down the line for that time when he would potentially be the starter, say like 2024, hoping that you could squeeze one more year out of Tom Brady. It's a lot to invest in Baker Mayfield. Now, the pros of that would be you have a long-term answer after Tom Brady retires, right? You would have a legitimate starter with playoff experience. The guy, he didn't play well in 2021, but he had like 77 injuries all in his throwing arm. And we've seen that he can get the job done. And people point to the fact that, you know, he struggled, you know, having Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry out there on the field. Yeah, well, when Odell wasn't out there demanding targets and demanding the ball, Baker Mayfield played a lot better. So if he has an opportunity in Tampa and you have unselfish guys like Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Russell Gage, you would have a solid running game behind you with Leonard Fournette. I do legitimately think Baker Mayfield could actually work in Tampa. I just can't see them giving up the draft capital when they have more holes to fill to secure a guy who's going to be a high paid backup for the next 1 to 2 years and getting this thing done.
Yeah, that's where the prohibitive part of this comes in. One, it's the money, and two, it's the draft capital, because Baker Mayfield is going to make over $18 million this year. He's playing on his fifth year option, so it's fully guaranteed. There is no wiggle room in that outside of an extension. So if you traded for Baker Mayfield, basically you're going to sign him to, I would imagine, at least a 3-year deal. You're probably going to give him $25 million over the life of that 3-year deal. minimum, if not more. And then you're going to lessen the cap hit this year to make it adjustable. And then it's going to be a bigger cap hit moving down the road. And then you have the draft capital, like you mentioned, because you've already invested a 2021 second round draft pick in a backup quarterback. So what are you trading for Baker Mayfield? Because what this could end up looking like, best case scenario, honestly, is you're going to invest a 2021 second round draft pick, a 2022, what, third and fifth round draft pick at like, that's probably the best case scenario into a backup quarterback position. Like that's a lot of draft capital to give up, especially when you just got back the greatest quarterback of all time. And look, Tom Brady is known as a very unselfish player and leader of a football team, but I don't think he's so unselfish to the point where he wants you to give up potentially two starting players, because you find starters every year in the second and third rounds of NFL drafts. So you're talking about potentially giving up two starting caliber players and a role player special teams ace with a mid to late round draft pick as well. And that's if you can get the Cleveland Browns to even take a deal like that, because the last reports were that they wanted a first round pick in exchange for Baker Mayfield. Good luck with that. But also updated reports have said that they've kind of backed down from the first round pick demand. So, and there's other wrinkles to this thing too. Like, quite honestly, Baker Mayfield really doesn't have any leverage in this situation. I mean, we already saw the Houston Texans literally pay Deshaun Watson over almost $11 million to stay at home and stay away from the team. NFL teams don't really care about those kinds of things. Will the Cleveland Browns pay him $18 million to stay at home? Potentially. Or they could tell the Cleveland Browns, James, they could basically wait to find out what Deshaun Watson's suspension is going to be if he gets suspended, which, you know, the civil case is going to have a lot to do with that, because if all the charges get dropped, to be quite honest with you, he may not get suspended at all from this whole thing. It's hard to suspend somebody when no repercussions are happening on any level. But let's say he gets suspended 6 games. That's before the trade deadline. The Cleveland Browns would come back to Baker and say, look, dude, you got 6 games. Go make yourself attractive to another team and we'll trade you midseason. And what's Baker going to do? Is he going to pout? Is he going to stay home? Is he going to hold out? I think Baker goes out there and basically tries to prove to the Browns that he's the guy for 6 weeks and that they're making a big mistake, and then make himself attractive to another team. Now that's, I think, a little bit of an extreme. Like, I'm not predicting that'll happen, but I'm just trying to illustrate that there are a lot of options on the table for the Cleveland Browns. They don't have to be in any kind of rush to trade Baker Mayfield.
But man, can you imagine how fantastic those Progressive commercials would be on the pirate ship?
It would actually be very entertaining. It would be interesting. It's hard to deny that the thought process of Baker Mayfield learning behind Tom Brady for a season. You know, we'll see what happens after that. And the fact that Baker would be coming in with an even bigger chip on his shoulder, like looking to prove somebody wrong. I mean, revenge, you know, and redemption are very powerful motivators. And we've seen the Buccaneers lose players or send players elsewhere, and those players use that revenge redemption motivation to become really great. We haven't really seen the Buccaneers become the recipients of that outside of like Shaquille Barrett. You know what I mean? Like, Shaquille Barrett basically was the first guy. I wouldn't even really call that redemption, so to speak, but just getting the opportunity. It's an interesting prospect. I just think that for the reasons we outlined here, the money for one and the draft capital for two, unless the Browns are willing to take all future draft capital, like, which I think would be unprecedented, like all 2023 and 2024 picks, I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, it's fun to think about, but it's more than likely, I would say 99% chance that it does not happen. Now, maybe Rob Gronkowski isn't as much of a sure thing as we all thought, as his agent Drew Rosenhaus said on Thursday that Gronk is still undecided. No. So we're going to dive into the fallout that could come from that decision coming up next. But first, it's that time of year again, as college basketball's tournament is upon us. The madness is maddening if you filled out a bracket. But from all the latest odds, contests, and player props, betonline.net is the number one source for all your sports betting needs and info. BetOnline remains the best spot for all of your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. And it's not just basketball. BetOnline is your continued source for all of your sports wagering information needs, including live betting and your favorite Vegas casino games. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Thanks again, Bucks fans, for making us your first listen or your first view of the day. Make sure you're also following the Locked On NFL podcast, Locked On Experts, covering the biggest stories around the NFL every Monday through Friday in less than 30 minutes, free and available wherever you get podcasts, just like the Locked On Bucks podcast. You can also find us on Twitter at Locked On Bucks. Find James at JR_Bucks. I am at D Harrison 82, both of us writing, covering your Buccaneers for SB Nation's BucksNation.com. Rob Gronkowski is still undecided on his football future, according to his agent, Drew Rosenhaus. So could the Buccaneers be in trouble at the tight end position? Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times tweeted out some new information on free agent tight end Rob Gronkowski. Gronk's agent, Drew Rosenhaus, was asked about it at Tyreek Hill's press conference and said, quote, "I talked to Tampa yesterday and I told him that he's still undecided. He needs some time to figure out whether he wants to play. The Bucs have offered the opportunity for Rob to come back. I think he's honestly undecided," end quote. So James, should Buccaneers fans be concerned about what we're reading in the rainbow from Rob Gronkowski?
On a scale from 1 to 10, 1 being like, no, we're good, and 10 being full-blown panic in the streets and jumping off of bridges, I would say we're at about a 3. And this time yesterday, I would have said we're at a 1. So it's a little bit of a bump, but you know, we remember that video of Gronk in that barbershop talking about he was going to make Tom sweat it out, and you know, he was going to be back and all this. I don't know. Maybe he, in that moment, maybe he felt like, yeah, there's no question I'm going to come back. I just don't need to do it right this minute. No. And maybe there is some legitimate questions. Maybe he is having some conversations with his girlfriend or fiance. I can't remember if they're engaged or not. You know, she's a Sports Illustrated swimsuit model, and she gets to travel all over the world. And, you know, maybe that's something that is now intriguing to Gronk, that, hey, I can pick up and I can go to Maui. I can go to the Bahamas. I can go to Hawaii with my, you know, beautiful girlfriend and spend all this time with her. And I don't have to worry about getting smacked in the head or getting my ribs cracked and getting my lung punctured. And I can have a great life. So I think as of right now, I would still lean towards Gronk is going to play. And I still believe that if he does play, it's going to be with Tom Brady. So I don't think there's any panic set in by the Buccaneers of we're going to lose this guy to, you know, another team. But now you really have to start thinking, okay, well, the tight end market and free agency is pretty much gone. We have other needs that we need to address in the first, you know, 2 rounds. What exactly are we going to do at tight end if Gronk isn't here?
Yeah. I'm at a 1.
Gronk's, you're at a 1. Okay.
Yeah. Gronk's coming back. Rob Gronkowski's coming back for 2022. He's not going to retire. He's coming back. He's going to play with Tom. Tom knows that Gronk is coming back. The team knows that Gronk is coming back. And here's my source. Experience. Rob Gronkowski's retired before. He knows what goes into this decision. He knows what it means to not play NFL football. This isn't a guy who hasn't gone through this process before, hasn't felt the emotion, right, of walking away from something that you've done for so long at such a high level and has made you so much money and really set your life up for the future. He knows what it is he's stepping into, the abyss of retirement, if you want to get dramatic about it. He also thoroughly enjoys toying with people, which is why you can't take anything Rob Gronkowski says completely serious, because he's always playing a game. Like, this dude, he lives life honestly the way that life should be lived. Like, he doesn't take anything too seriously other than the business at hand when it comes time to take care of his task. And that's what I really like about Rob Gronkowski. You want to know what I think, honestly? And again, no sources, no sauces, no nothing. I think Rob Gronkowski is letting the Buccaneers figure out the payroll, figure out JPP, his situation. They may have already made a decision on whether or not they're going to try to bring back JPP, figure out Ndamukong Suh and what's going on with him. And basically they're like, guys, look, we're good. Get everybody else brought back. We'll figure it out at the end. I'm not worried about it. I'm going to go get me some beads, take my shirt off and go get on Instagram. Like, I honestly think that's where this is. And the agent, Drew Rosenhaus, like, he's got to represent his client's best interests. And, you know, if you come out there and you put this stuff out, that just kind of complicates things. Plus, I think Rob kind of enjoys a little bit. If you didn't catch my reading Rainbow Drift, like, he just posted a weird, super weird video about him making a decision on, I think it was TikTok. And it's just, he's enjoying the process, but he's already told the Buffalo Bills he's not coming to Buffalo, obviously, which is why they addressed tight end position elsewhere. He's already told the Bengals the same thing, which is why they went ahead and addressed it elsewhere. The only team he's going back to, like you said, is the Buccaneers with Tom Brady. And there's no way, in my mind anyway, that Jason Light goes into a month away from the NFL draft with one tight end on his roster, with not even like a flyer depth guy, you know, somewhere out there. And he didn't make a move on anybody because let's be real again, right? Tom Brady came back before the legal tampering period. What does that enable you to do if you're the Buccaneers? That enables you to basically line up all the veteran free agents and say, who wants to win a ring? Raise your hand. Okay. Who wants to take this much money for a chance to win a ring? Keep your hand up. Okay. You three guys, we'll take you. Like that's just kind of the situation it is, right? Like, you think Ricky Seals-Jones is going to leave the Washington Commanders and go sign with, I don't even remember who he signed with, out other than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers if he has the chance to? No. Gronk's coming back. And if he's not, we can replay this segment and you can laugh at me.
I don't know. WrestleMania is coming up. Gronk might want to get back in the ring and become that, what was he, like the 24/7 champion,
yeah, or whatever something, it was. Something that just proved with beyond all reasonable doubt that wrestling is more interested in ratings than anything else. I mean, look, if he wants to go back to WrestleMania or the WWE, more power to him. But I think
can you imagine a Gronk and Pat McAfee promo? Because that would be epic.
That would be good.
You probably didn't even know that Pat McAfee's in the WWE.
I actually heard something about it. Like he's
got a WrestleMania match this weekend, but he's a commentator on their Friday night show.
Yeah, which makes sense, you know, for the brand and all that stuff. That's just where I'm coming from. Like, you know, like this, why is this a tough decision for you? Like, you, again, this is a guy who's walked down this path before. This isn't a tough decision. I expect, James, an announcement on April 1st. And it will probably be the actual opposite announcement of what's actually going to happen. But here's something that has been announced, James, and it's actually being announced. Rich Eisen, because he doesn't play these games and he doesn't retire, because who retires from sitting behind a microphone and talking? Recently, he ranked his top five Super Bowl contenders for the 2022 NFL season, and he put the Buccaneers at the tippy top of his list. We'll tell you why he's correct in a moment. But first, I just realized that I inadvertently took a shot at Brent Allen. I love you, buddy. That was not a shot at you. Also, have you tried Built Puffs? Are you getting it? Who retires from talking behind a microphone? That was an inadvertent shot that I just took at Brent. Have you tried Built Puffs? Because if you haven't, you're missing out on one of the best tasting Built Bar products around. Puffs are the first ever protein-infused marshmallow. They're fluffy. They're marshmallowy. They're not just a protein bar. They're a treat. And they're covered in 100% real chocolate. Puffs are a fan favorite with some incredible flavors like yummy cinnamony churro and banana cream pie, which is one of my favorites. We've actually got another box in the freezer right now. So good. They're going to be your new favorites if you give them a try. Built.com has a Puffs milk mixed box also available. All Built bars are covered in 100% real chocolate, including the Puffs. So it's marshmallow covered in chocolate and it's low calorie, high protein. You can replace your candy bars with them. Feel even better while you're eating a treat. Go to Built.com right now. Scroll down to the macros chart and you're going to be blown away. At Built Bar, they're all about the taste. They make it taste delicious first. Then they figure out how to make it healthy. And I'm not sure how, but they make it happen every single time. Go to Built.com. Use promo code LOCK15 to get 15% off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com.
Wrapping things up here on a Friday edition of the Locked On Bucks podcast. James Yarko, David Harrison on Twitter at @JYarko_Bucks, at @DHarrison82. And another quick shout out to Brent Allen. He didn't actually retire from being behind a microphone. For those of you that are also Star Trek fans, in addition to being Buccaneers fans, Brent Allen hosts the Beam Me Up podcast about Star Trek. And I just noticed this, David, he also co-hosts Murph's Turf, which is his 9-year-old's podcast about Star Trek Prodigy. So nice. Brent
has, I don't know what Star Trek Prodigy is, but I like the group project with your kid.
I could be wrong. I think it's a Star Trek cartoon.
Yeah.
But I'm, as you can see behind me, I'm of the Star Wars persuasion, but yeah. Brent he traded in one fandom for another, and you know, from what I can tell, the Beam Me Up podcast is doing fantastic. So shout out.
So it was not actually an inadvertent insult, which means I take back my apology.
Exactly. But On to other business. The OG, the GOAT, the man, the myth, the legend, the Michigan alum, Rich Eisen.
I had to throw that in there.
I did. But you know what? It's okay because he also gives his props to Ohio State when
he does.
Rich Eisen did his top five Super Bowl favorites on his radio show this week. And in spite of the madness that is the AFC and especially the AFC West, the Buccaneers landed at number one. So Eisen decided on his ever popular show, The Rich Eisen Show, to run down his top five Super Bowl favorites. At number five, I was actually honestly very surprised at this. He had the Green Bay Packers, even though they have nobody to throw to. At number four, and they have no defense. And how did Marquez Valdes-Scantling get $30 million? Imagine paying a wide receiver that can't catch a football $30 million after you just traded Tyreek Hill. Yikes. Full yikes time in Kansas City. Number four is the Cincinnati Bengals. Number three, the defending champion, Los Angeles Rams. Number two, the Buffalo Bills, and then the Tampa Bay Buccaneers land as the top Super Bowl favorite. David, your thoughts on Rich Eisen's power ranking there and putting the Bucs number one?
I think he's 100% correct, because not for nothing, but look, and not trying to take anything away from the Los Angeles Rams, but let's be honest. You look at the playoff game. I understand. Look, in the regular season, the Rams, they handed the Buccaneers their rear ends, as they like to say. In that playoff game, the Buccaneers were the better team on the field. Now, the Buccaneers weren't the better execute. Like, they didn't execute better, right, especially early on in the game. But you don't make a comeback like that without having some serious talent on your team. And they did it without Tristan Wirfs. They did it without Chris Godwin. Now, granted, you're losing Jordan Whitehead, but you're bringing back pretty much the entire band that was there for almost one of the most historic upsets or comeback wins in NFL playoff history. Outside of maybe JPP, and then again, the offensive line, you're going to be missing some pieces, but it's pretty shored up. Like, there's not a lot of holes in this whole system. Now, the thing that Jason Light and Bruce Arians are going to have to focus on moving forward is getting that depth back at offensive line. I think you're going to see some draft capital turned in there, but you're also probably going to see some free agent acquisitions and some future six-round draft picks traded for some veterans during the early part, you know, before training camp, after the NFL draft and all that stuff. But really, by and large, you're bringing back the unit. So again, it's playing the health game, right? And that's the game that every team plays. All you can do is put your team on paper, go through training camp, and just pray as hard as you can pray that your team stays healthy enough in the right positions, that if you do suffer injuries, you have players that can step up and replace them. They're the best team on paper. The Buffalo Bills, I applaud some of the moves that they have made, and I think that they've taken a step forward. The Los Angeles Rams, honestly, have gotten worse. They lost one of their key contributing defensive backs on the defensive side of the ball. They lost Andrew Whitworth. They sent Robert Woods away. Granted, they brought in another wide receiver, but there are just certain things about what they do that, to me, overall, the team has gotten worse. I'm not saying they're bad. They're still a number three contender for a Super Bowl. That's not bad in any way, but they are a little bit worse. Just like the Chiefs are worse, just like the Packers are worse. And the Bengals, the thing that's going to be tricky about the Bengals, and James, you've heard me say this a lot, our loyal listeners have heard me say this a lot, doing something great for 1 year, especially as like a quarterback or a team, is really impressive. Doing it for 2 years is more impressive. People are going to see the Bengals coming now, and they're going to have the film, and they're going to look at the tendencies, they're going to look at the trends, and they're going to have a better approach to attack you now that you've been competitive. Can the Bengals withstand that pressure, and can they bring in the right pieces to continue to compete? And then, oh, by the way, the AFC West, I don't know who 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 are, but most of them probably come from the AFC West.
I don't think I agree with you and Rich. I can't put the Buccaneers at number one right now.
Well, look, I mean, it's not the first time you've been wrong. You also told me that Tom Brady was not coming back. I should get over it, move on from it, never talk about him on the show again.
I did say that. And well, I didn't actually say never talk about him again. I just said that.
It was insinuated.
Look, what the Bengals have done this offseason has been beyond impressive. They have upgraded across the offensive line. Obviously, they got Alex Kappa, but they trade for Karras, a center out of New England. They bring in Lyle Collins. Like, they have built up protection for Joe Burrow, which was their Achilles heel last year. And not only does that help Burrow, but that helps Joe Mixon, who very quietly was a top five running back last year. like statistically speaking, top five running back. Yeah. You know, the Bengals are making some great, great moves. I don't know if I agree totally that the Rams have gotten worse. I do think the Whitworth retirement hurts them a lot, but I would say they're pretty much on par. I think they upgraded at receiver. I love Robert Woods, but Allen Robinson is an upgrade over, over Robert
Woods. From a raw talent standpoint, I agree. I just don't think he brings anything to the team that they didn't already have last year. So that dynamically, it doesn't change anything they're going to do.
That could be. Absolutely. I just think it's hard to put the Buccaneers ahead of the Rams at this point in time. I mean, the Buccaneers have not beaten the Rams in three opportunities over the last 2 years. For whatever reason, Sean McVay kind of has their number right now. Yeah. And then, yeah, you take a look at the AFC West. Is it going to be, is it still going to be the Chiefs even without Tyreek Hill? I mean, if the Chiefs have back-to-back picks in the first round, if they snag Chris Olave to replace you know, Tyreek Hill in that offense, they're not going to miss a beat. They're really not. Yeah. So I think it's hard to put the Bucs ahead of them at this moment in time. So I would still have the Bucs in the top five for sure. The Packers do not belong in this top five. Like, there's no question in my mind. So along with the Bills, the Rams, I think you have the Bengals and then maybe the Buccaneers. And I would say probably the Denver Broncos at that number five spot. But it's going to continue to evolve, right? You still have more free agency. You have the draft coming up. Let's revisit this. Let's put a pin in it. Let's revisit it the week after the draft, and we're going to see how this roster kind of looks at that point in time, and we can compare it to some of the other teams across the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, you know, all that makes sense, 100%. The Raiders are winning the AFC West, by the way. You heard it here first.
I don't fully disagree with that.
Yeah. Also having a really good offseason that a lot of people are not talking about, the New York Jets are having a very good offseason, not just because they got Jordan Whitehead, but they've got some other moves, and they've got two top 10 picks in this year's NFL draft. Like, if they land those picks, if they hit on those picks, the New York Jets, I'm not saying Super Bowl contenders, but they could be making some noise sooner rather than later. But yeah, I mean, it's a pre-draft ranking, right? Rich Eisen, I'm sure, will acknowledge that as well, and he'll be putting out more. But I, you know, look, on paper, I still say the Buccaneers have the most talented team, because again, with Chris Godwin on the field, with Tristan Wirfs on the field, the Rams aren't going to beat them.
Well, I think the Jets should trade for Baker Mayfield. Well, on that note, we are going to get out of here. We want to thank you for making the Locked On Bucs podcast your first listen or view of the day. Now make your second listen to Locked On NFL Draft podcast. Ryan Tracy and former NFL cornerback Eric Crocker bring the NFL draft to life every day with insight and analysis on college football prospects and NFL front offices. It is also free and available whenever you get your podcast. We are going to be back on Monday. If you have any questions, concerns, topic suggestions, thoughts, hopes, dreams, fears, give us a shout at 813-444-5841 or send us an email to lockedonbuckspodcast@gmail.com. For David Harrison, I am James Yarko. And until we speak again, make sure you're checking out everything that we are writing over at BucksNation.com. Find us on Twitter at LockedOnBucks, at JYarko_Bucks, at DHarrison82, and at Bucks_Nation. Hope you all have an absolutely outstanding weekend. Stay safe, stay healthy, wash your hands, be good to one another, fire those cannons. Gronk's coming back. We thank you so much for joining us right here at Locked On Bucks.